Welcome to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and amazing pet stories.
Welcome to today's episode, everybody. We have a very special guest who is doing tremendous work in the equine world, saving many horses and really making a difference where there is such a large need. So I want to welcome to the show Susan Pierce from the Red Bucket Equine Rescue. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you for all that you're doing. Let's talk about what the Red Bucket Equine Rescue is.
Red Bucket Equine Rescue is a nonprofit rescue organization. Our mission has three parts. We save horses, and we're talking about slaughter-bound, horribly abused, neglected horses. We then spend up to about 2 years per horse rehabilitating, training, and preparing that horse for their forever home. And that's that final part of our mission, is finding the horse a loving forever home. We basically specialize in second chances, and we take it very seriously.
Now, how'd you get started doing this?
Well, you know, I've been a horsewoman my whole life, but frankly, 3 years ago, my husband and I found 9 starving horses that had been abandoned that were waiting for the kill truck to pick them up, and we couldn't turn our backs. And May of that same year, we had 74 horses.
Wow.
And as of yesterday, we just rescued our 105th horse.
I'm fortunate. I've kind of seen the story develop over the past couple of years, but let's talk about that. Where did you start with the rescue, and how did that process kind of take shape?
Well, we found the 9 horses that had been abandoned, and frankly, it's all too common. Horses being over-commoditized, undervalued, overbred. It's a big problem. It's epidemic.
Yeah.
So we started with 9 horses. We were invited to bring them to Huntington Central Park Equestrian Center. And over the course of 3 years, we really devoted ourselves to, A, getting our nonprofit, so we are a 501c3, and creating a sustainable organization. And we just closed escrow on the 31st of May on our own ranch in Chino Hills.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, huge.
It's
a huge deal. You know, it's very scary, but it also allows us to do the work that we want to do.
Right. Without having the uncertainty of not knowing if you can stay where you're at, and I've got to believe that is a huge relief, especially after all that you've gone through.
Well, you know what's funny is we received a call yesterday afternoon. Now, I should tell you we're full. You know, I think almost every rescue I know is very full right now. And we were full 20 horses ago. And so we've continued believing that it's our mission. And so full or not, we still have to help. And I don't have wiggle room. I have a couple of horses that are in very large pens, but they're doubled up. And I received a call yesterday from a gal who had done her senior project with us. So we award service hours as a nonprofit. We can, you know, sign off on the kid's senior project.
Right.
She was a pretty terrific kid. Well, she was out on a trail ride yesterday in Whittier and found an emaciated, I'm talking down 300 or 400 pound thoroughbred, older guy, just dumped in a riverbed, called us. We hooked up the trailer, went and picked up the horse. You know, 2 hours later, had him, you know, safely tucked in a stall, you know, eating a small dinner. We have to refeed them gradually. And it was empowering. And so we're able to do the work that we need to do and service the horse community in the way that we need to service them. So we're very grateful.
There seems to be, regardless of what kind of animal it is, a huge need. But when you're talking about horses, increasingly we're hearing more stories. Is it because of the cost? Is it because of the size? What's driving that increase in the need of horse rescue?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, horses are overbred. The backyard breeding just has to stop, right? So they're overbred, they're over-commoditized, and they're not valued the way they were, you know, when I was a kid.
Right.
They're just not. They're a dime a dozen. There are too many horses and too few people. Plus, the economy has really hurt the average horse owner. I mean, I get calls all the time from people who want to surrender their family pets.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine with the way that I love my animals. I just, boy, that's a tough one.
Think about it this way, though. Horses, you can get them for free. So years ago, you know, it was a couple thousand dollars to get like a nice horse. Today, you can get them for free. So there's the Smith family has a little girl who loves horses. Their neighbor or friend or Craigslist someplace gives her a free horse. They think they're lucky because they have a free horse. Well, what they don't understand is in California, depending upon where you have the horse, it's several hundred to $1,000 a month to take care of the horse. So now all of a sudden this free horse isn't such a good deal anymore, and the family who thinks they're getting this treasured companion can't afford to keep the horse, so the horse gets, you know, given away again or abandoned.
Yeah, and let's talk about it. I mean, it is a tremendous undertaking. If you're thinking about adopting a horse, and you should always adopt, what things do you need to really think about before you make that commitment?
Before anyone thinks about adopting a horse, you know, I tell them, lease a horse first. You know, go lease one. Assume the monthly expenses and know what you're getting into. Assume the responsibility of being responsible for a horse who cannot take care of themselves. Once you get the rhythm down and you know that that's what you want for your lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle,
right?
Then carefully identify what you want to use the horse for so that you can match your criteria with the right horse. And we are very careful and selective when we're matching horses with adopters. And you have to make sure not only the horse has the temperament and the training, but also the level of soundness. And we spend a number of months in the matching process, and then we provide field support. So every horse that goes out of Red Bucket, not only will we take them back and guarantee them for life, take it very seriously, but we also assign a field support person to follow up on the horse. So if the new adopter is having trouble, and there are always issues that come up. You know, the horse doesn't want to go on the trail, or they're afraid of water, or they can't get them in the wash rack. We send somebody out to work with the adopter and the horse to really remove the barriers that are going to get in the way of this horse's permanent placement.
And, I mean, that's so critical, having that ongoing support. But I love the concept that you're referencing in terms of leasing a horse. You know, this is one of those pets that you can do that. In essence, you know, try it, make sure it fits your lifestyle, as you mentioned, before just jumping in blindly and, you know, finding out later on, whoops, this is just too much to handle. So that's certainly a great tip, and we'll cut down. You know, I want to talk about Red Bucket. There's a significance behind the name.
Well, yeah, symbols are big in our organization, and almost everything is thought out pretty carefully. The Red Bucket symbolizes intimacy and nutrition. When a horse comes into our organization, many times they've had nothing to call their own. They've never even been named, and the greatest majority of our horses don't even know what a carrot is. When a horse comes in, they receive their bucket and their name, and every evening the horse receives their bucket. It's made specially just for them. We do not herd feed. It's delivered to the horse. There's intimacy there, and we want the intimacy, and it's also a great way for us to do our final stall check before we do our rounds at 10 o'clock at night. And so the horse has their own bucket. Their dinner comes in the bucket every single night, and when the horse is adopted, the night before the horse goes out, the feed girls draw hearts on the bucket and clean it up, and the bucket goes with the horse. It's really a concrete reminder of where the horse came from and the promise that the adopter is making to the horse for life.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. And practical, of course.
Well, yeah. It makes us cry, I'll tell you. It's hard to even explain that.
Yeah.
Because when you see the buckets go out with the horses, they mean something. And God forbid, you know, we lose horses sometimes. You know, there are the horses that colic or that are so malnourished that we can't save them. It doesn't happen often, but, you know, we have to put horses down occasionally. And when we do, we save the bucket in our office as a way of, you know, respecting the horse. And it's meaningful to us.
Now, you mentioned you just saved your 105th horse. At your location, how many horses do you currently have up for adoption?
Well, every single horse that we have is adoptable. There are very few exceptions to that, but our motto is every horse is adoptable. Now, having said that, I will not adopt out a horse if we have a concern about a behavioral issue or a lameness issue that we don't understand or a neurologic issue. So I cannot and will not adopt out a horse who's neurologic. It would be unsafe and it's not fair. So we have two horses that would fall into that category and we just won't place them. We have a couple of really old guys, you know, well into their 30s, and it's not that I wouldn't place those horses, but I would really want to counsel the new owners and make sure that they were really equipped emotionally.
Right.
And also they understood the warning signs that an older horse will give, you know, when it's getting to be the time when it's not quality of life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there are always exceptions to that rule. I have a horse with cancer. I'd be really concerned about adopting her into a family and having her pass away and devastate the family. Those are the exceptions. Other than that, every single one of our horses is being prepared for their forever home, and that's really what we're all about.
If you're familiar with the Red Bucket Equine Rescue and you get their newsletters, you're familiar with Brinker. But if you haven't gotten one of those wonderful newsletters, tell us who Brinker is.
Well, Brinker is ridiculous, first of all. He wouldn't agree with that. Brinker has a slab fracture. So he, at a very young age, had a fracture. He had been pulled off of a rescue truck. He was being sent to the killers at 4 months old. And so a good Samaritan, not understanding what they were doing and wanting to be kind, pulled Brinker off of the kill truck, put him in a stall for 5 years, and then no longer, you know, the horse wasn't fun anymore, and it wasn't fun to feed him anymore, but the horse wasn't even halter broke. So he's become a bit of a celebrity because he has some limitations. Brinker can't be ridden, but he's very smart, and he needs a job. And so we have taught him, really Kimberly Foreman, our head trainer, has taught him a litany of tricks, and he performs them. It's absolutely hysterical, but he also is a poet. He gives advice, and he's starting his blog up again. So he tends to be a pretty profound guy.
I certainly enjoy reading him. Let's talk about, you mentioned the different volunteers who have really made this happen, and especially with your organization, you really, truly have some really devoted volunteers. How important has that been?
Robert, I honestly don't have the words to express my amazement at the quality of people we've been able to attract. We have people who have dedicated 40, 50, 60 hours of unpaid time a week consistently. These are people
wow.
who have day jobs, completely devoted to the horses, selfless, wanting to take the dirtiest jobs for themselves. It has continued to boggle my mind. It's actually magical. And the volunteers are priceless, and we rely on them. And obviously, they're getting something out of it, too. I think you pull a horse out of a riverbed, who has such thick rope burns, or they've been used to dog bait, and they're near death, 400 pounds down, and you get to be part of, in some small way, watching the life come back, and then you watch the horse get adopted. It's meaningful. You know, it's moving, and people want to be a part of it, and we're so grateful to have them.
Yeah, I mean, and you really have a special bunch there who has seen you through some of the most difficult times, through some of the most glorious times. And just a special bunch. I know they've reached out on numerous occasions to bring your story to our attention. As you move forward, what's next for Red Bucket Equine Rescue?
Well, the biggest thing that keeps me up at night is I need to pay this mortgage off.
Yeah.
And I need to do it in the next 4 years. And so raising awareness, the press, and fundraising are going to be critical for our success. That's number one. Number two is we want to continue to grow our programs, and there are programs that we want to be able to provide that we can't, because we know the first thing is getting that mortgage paid off. And day to day, it's taking extraordinary care of our horses, making sure that they're getting touched, that they're getting loved, that we're preparing them for their forever homes. And that's what we're really focused on.
I don't think most people have any idea about the effort and the time that it takes to run a rescue, especially the size of what you're doing.
We start at 5 a.m. with turnouts, and every horse needs to have enrichment, and we're religious about that. And we wrap it up in terms of closing the gate at 10 p.m., and then the paperwork starts. So it's 24/7. You know, we have rounds in the morning to check each and every horse, not only our horses, but our client horses, and we take that very seriously. And then the work begins, and we have a very organized way of assigning our horses their program for the day. Each horse has a goal, and each horse is touched extensively. So it's not just working them, but they're groomed, they have feet care, and then they also receive enrichment every day. So it's a round-the-clock operation, and you know, we're not willing to let our standards slip, so we work really long hours.
Now, when I say to you, Red Bucket Equine Rescue, what pops into your head?
Magic. Okay. Where you see the transformation of horses from skeletal, vacant, and shattered to being somebody's beloved forever pet, nuzzling them, getting on a trailer, and going home forever. That's magic. Where you see people who want to come and work 40, 50, 60 hours or 12-hour days because it's meaningful to them to participate in it, it's magic. Where you take an organization that started 3 years ago with nothing, that today owns their own ranch, and we don't have to say no when someone calls us because there's a horse abandoned in a riverbed that's starving and desperate. I think magic is the word that I think of.
I think so as well. On that note, I want to say thank you so much for all those who won't get a chance to talk to you or meet you personally. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the pet world and doing so selflessly for all of these horses and setting such a great example that hopefully others can follow and learn from and implement in their respective areas as well. Such a wonderful, wonderful organization. I can't say thank you enough. And, you know, I know we will certainly be spreading the word, as well as hopefully our listeners and our viewers, all of you out there. This is a tremendous organization doing so many things so right. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. We definitely want to have you back as you get more settled in and we can get more into the horses themselves at that point. Thank you again. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
This has been a Pet World Insider production.